and a guy came along and he started winning addicts and alcoholics to the Lord.
Wow.
I have a moving message.
That's as old as me.
So, what happened was the guy had a vision. Not a, you know, heavenly vision. He had a vision, an idea. And he was zealous about it, and he made it happen. The Lord made it happen. But, you know, he made it happen. Him, that, you know, did that. So, any church could do the same thing. I mean, Jesus only had 12 apostles. You know, that's a lot less than you folks today. Right? You got to say yes, because you're, what, 30 people here. That's a lot more than 12. Okay? That's true. They had 120 in the upper room. Okay? But what I'm saying is that, you know, the potential's there. As long as there's people that are willing to serve the Lord, the potential is there. Okay? And I'm really happy for what's happening at Perry Good. I can, oh man, that, look at how that's exploding and it's growing, and I'm so jealous about the work at Breve, you know. No, but that's how it should be, and that's exciting. And same thing could happen here. Okay, if that were the Lord's will, and you know. So just don't count it off, you know, it's not possible. Everything is possible if that's what God wants. And so, you know, the message is about the need of servants. But we really need them now. You know, because I'm talking about missions on the foreign field. What if the churches all die in America? And the churches are all dying in America. Oh, yeah, those old fundamentalist churches, they're all dying. Well, they're all dying. It's not just the fundamentalists. Someone gave us some statistics the other day of how many churches in America are dying every month, closing the doors, and the buildings are being sold. Okay? And they say statistically, you'll probably hear this again, but statistically, America is one of the greatest mission fields in the world. Because percentage-wise, there's not very many Christians. Oh, but we have a mega church with 10,000. Yeah, 10,000 amongst, you know, 20 million. That's nothing. Los Angeles. Okay? So, you know, let's not be proud. No matter how big we are, you know, that's nothing compared to the population. And we sang a song, millions are dying. Now, that was written a long time ago. Now there's billions that are dying. You know, we're losing the battle. No matter what perspective we have on theology and missiology and all that kind of stuff. Okay? So the Lord needs servants now. I'm going to preach from Matthew chapter 8. Not a long message. I'm trying to see the clock over there, but I can't. Which one do I look at to know what time it really is?
That one's kind of close. That one's close.
Okay.
I don't use clocks.
Okay.
When I preach, there's no, we don't look at clocks.
Yeah, well, this will still be a short message. So I want to give a background just a second. Matthew chapter 8. Before Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 1 through 7, starts out with the birth of Christ. Then you have his baptism, and you know, the devil is going to tempt him, you know, so you have victory over temptation in chapter 4. And then chapters 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, where you have the blessings and the trials of belonging to Christ. Okay, so Jesus is warning us in advance, if you follow me, there will be blessings and there will be trials. Okay? And so I'd like to say it this way, you know, temptation is common to humanity. There's temptation. Everybody's tempted. Okay, so don't think that you're never going to be tempted to do something that's not right, because you're going to be tempted because you're human. Jesus was tempted by the devil, and he prevailed by the truth. Okay, Christ could not sin, but he did not sin. Okay, but when you get to toward the end there of the Beatitudes, we find out that trials are a part of the Christian life. Everybody has trials, probably, but trials are a part of the Christian life. Blessed are those who are persecuted, you know, for my name's sake. Oh, well, maybe I don't want to be a Christian. That's part of it, you know. Nobody wants persecution. You know, in early Christianity, I think it was the third century toward the end, there were people that were, you know, the Romans were killing the Christians, And they would go and say, I'm a Christian, you can kill me. Well, that's ridiculous. You know, but there were lots of people that were doing that. And then Jesus ends chapter 7 with this parable of two men that are building their houses. One was down in California building on a dune. The other was up here building on a volcano. You know, the wise man built on the rock and the foolish man built on the sand. Okay? And you saw the news recently, those big old $1 million, half a billion dollar houses, you know, that right on the precipice because the dune washed out from underneath the house, you know. Well, so Jesus and his teaching are the stone. They are the rock. And that's where the Lord wants us, is on the rock. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay? So then we come to chapter 8. In chapter 8, after Jesus has given all this foundational information, Jesus begins his ministry. And it says in chapter 8, when he was come down from the mountain, so that's the Sermon on the Mount, you know, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, he wasn't like one of the modern Christians said, God, I want to be a millionaire and you've got to do it. That's not how we approach God. That's how some people do it. I remember one time I was watching the TV just to see, you know, there's this cultic leader on the TV. And he said, let's see if I can come back up with what he said now. He said that. He said, the Bible says the lack of money is the root of all evil. And he went on to say that he needed their money. Wow. Well, no, that's not the truth at all, is it? Okay? This guy, he was humble. Said, Lord, if you want, you can heal me. And that's how we pray, you know, when someone's sick. Lord, if you will, heal this person. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will. Be thou clean. And so the Lord healed this guy because he wanted to. The Lord can always do it. It's never a question of whether God can do what we want him to do. Okay? It's just a matter of whether or not he wants to do that. And sometimes God wants to do that at a certain time or a certain situation, and sometimes he doesn't. You know, like Paul, he got out of prison once, but he didn't get out of prison twice. It was the right time to get out of prison, and then it was the right time for him to die. You know, so thy will be done. That's how we should humbly present our requests to the Lord. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now that's an interesting thing. You think about it, what is Jesus saying? He's saying, okay, I healed you. Now go and obey the word of God. Obey the word of God. Moses commanded you to do something, so go do it. As Christians, we are supposed to obey the word of God. We're not supposed to obey the law of Moses. I'm not saying that. But the word of God is our marching orders. And there's just so many Christians that they don't care what the Bible says. They come up with their own theories, you know. There were those people, the Christians over there in Corinth. And they were trying to create, you know, their type of Christianity. And Paul had to write two letters to them to tell it doesn't work that way. Christianity is based on the word of God and not on how you just want to do things. Then there's those others. They're Americans of other times, you know. The Laodicean church. What was their big problem? Too much money. Too much money. We are rich. We have need of nothing. That's the American church. Okay? So, creating our own type of Christianity is not being a Christian. A Christian submits to the Word of God. because he wants to please God. And it says so right there, for a testimony unto them. So I agree, okay, there's plenty of women that could be good preachers that are much more emotional and can, you know, communicate better than the men, okay? But that's not the testimony that God wants. God said he wants men preachers. A woman can do Bible studies with women, Bible studies with ladies. You can't go, a guy can't go into a lot of countries and evangelize the women. That just doesn't happen. He'd be dead before he got past the door. You know what I mean? So it's normal. There are women that are missionaries. There's men that are missionaries. There's need for these things. Okay? But when it comes to the question of submitting to the Word of God, why do we do that? Well, we submit to obey, to respect God through his word. And that is a testimony that it's not us, that, well, we're Christians, we do what we want. So when the church that ATM was going to in Albertville started having women preachers, he talked to them and said, well, you know, the Bible says that you're not supposed to do that. They said, well, we'll do what we want, you do what you want. And so he left. Because he couldn't submit to disobeying the word of God. He was making a testimony to them. And just as we should, you know, why do you do this? Why do you do that? Well, you know, the Bible is the final authority, or the only authority, for faith and practice. Why do you believe this? It's in the Bible. Why do you do that? Well, it's in the Bible. Well, then how come you're doing that thing there? Oh, yeah, it's not in the Bible. I said, well, you know, well, we don't have to do that. There are things that we do that aren't in the Bible that we need to recognize that God never said it had to be that way. There's plenty of things he said they need to be that way. Okay, so my point is that here, this guy that was healed, he was supposed to respect, obey the word of God, to please God, and to be a testimony to the priests, to the gospel, to who Jesus Christ was. I don't think I'm twisting anything by saying all that. Okay. Then we have this next paragraph, which talks about a centurion. Now, the centurion is true. When you read other passages, you'll find out that this man was a man who wanted to know God. He loved the Jewish people. He built the synagogue that the archaeologists have found at Capernaum, or he paid to have it done. Okay? So this guy was, you know, he wanted to know God, but he didn't know God. He was a pagan. He was Roman. The Romans were pagans. Okay? So that's where we have his background in the second part of the story. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. So his servant is at home, he's paralyzed, and he's in great pain. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. And so Jesus started to go there. Okay, so in the first paragraph, we saw that Jesus healed an unclean man. Okay? And now he's going to heal another person. But when we talk about the spiritual needs, we are all unclean. That's what we talk about, sin. We are dead in our sin. We are unclean before God. And the big business of Jesus isn't just healing the body, but it's healing the soul. Okay? Jesus forgives our sins. Okay? So that you have the historical event in the first paragraph. But the bottom line teaching is Jesus is going out to heal both the body and, you know, to forgive sin. Okay? And so now there's this second act of healing that's about to take place. And he says, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus says, I will come. Well, and when you read in Luke the same story, you find out that the centurion didn't even go to see Jesus. He humbly sent his servants. He didn't. Later on, even in Luke, he'll say, well, I'm not deigning you to have you come under my house. dignified to have you come into my house. So he sent the servant because he was asking for grace. He was a pagan. He didn't deserve that God did anything for him. No, I think in Luke, it's the leaders of the synagogue that go with the servants to talk to Jesus, okay? So you can look it up. That's Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Then the man says, the centurion answered in verse 8. I don't know, those numbers keep getting smaller. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou comest under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to another man, come, and he comes. That's the ETH, the F, that's a S, that's S, okay? And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Okay? And then Jesus is pretty, it says he marveled. He's pretty surprised. He says, wow, I've not heard anything like this, even in Israel. This is faith. This man knows what he's talking about. He's a military guy that knows when you say to somebody, do it, he's going to do it. Okay? So, question is, when Jesus tells you to do something, do you do it?
Oh, no, I'm an American. I'm free. I'm not the servant of anybody. Nobody tells me what to do.
Isn't that American Christianity? No, seriously. We're wealthy, and we think that we just do what we want. And so we do. And we don't care what Jesus says. And this story is here to tell us that's the wrong way to look at life. Okay? When a man under authority, he says, there's an emperor and maybe a general above my head, and he tells me what to do, and I do it. And I am in authority, and I tell my servants and I tell my soldiers what to do, and they do it. I say go, and they go. I say come, and they come. And I say do this, and they do it. I was talking to my cousin, I think I mentioned him before, and so he was a general in the Air Force, and he says, people liked me, but they didn't like my authority. Oh. Why? Well, because what do you see, you're driving along nice in your car, and there's a police car parked right there, and authority,
yeah.
You're not worried, but you know that if you do something wrong, he might give you a ticket. Okay? So we try to do the right thing because authority, that scares us. Okay? But we've got so much that Jesus is our brother, and all that stuff. We pulled him right out of heaven and put him down here in the mud with us.
Yeah.
So when Jesus says do, we don't do. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus says go, and that's what missions is all about, we don't go. Mm-hmm. And when he says do this, we just don't do it. Now, can we call that obedience?
No.
Can we call that respecting the Lord? No. That's just doing our own thing and disrespectful and disobedience. Is that Christianity?
No.
It's not. Okay? So, he's asked for God's grace to heal his servant, and he's demonstrated faith by talking in the sense of saying, you don't have to go, just say it. And I know that spiritually it's going to happen because you're the man. You can say it and it'll be done. And so Jesus is really surprised by this. When verse 10 he says, he heard that and he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Then Jesus said in verse 11, and I say unto you that many shall come from east and west. Now, what do you suppose east and west is? It's east of Israel and west of Israel. Okay, it's not east of the Rockies and west of the Rockies. Okay, so who is he referring to here? Us. You folks. He's referring to the non-Jewish people, the non-Israelites. Many shall come from all over there in the east and all over there in the west. Many shall come. So he's talking about world evangelization. Because right now he's just at the beginning and starting to figure, you know, talk to the people and get everything in place. And later on at the end, he's going to say, go. Go where? But Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth. East and west. That includes the north and the south. I say unto you that many shall come from east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom, all these Israelites, shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why will they be cast into outer darkness? Because of unbelief.
Yeah.
Because of unbelief. God's not going to send people to hell for believing, but because they don't believe. That's what John says in John chapter 3, verse 36, that those who believe will be saved, and those who do not believe will be lost. That's the big point. You either believe or you don't believe. And if you believe, like in the first story, then obey. Respect. And if you don't believe, that's unfortunate, because there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And the servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So the healing took place, okay? But it's a demonstration, okay, of grace. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? Faith and grace are the cornerstones of the Christian, of a person being saved based on the crucifixion and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just throwing a little thing here. So, something you said earlier, Pastor. So, in France, next Sunday is Easter. So, we were at my mother-in-law's house in France for an Easter meal. And my sister-in-law, former sister-in-law, is from Switzerland. And she asked the question, well, what's Easter about? Because that represents a lot of folks over there that they're going to have chocolates for Easter, but they don't know what Easter is about. So she asked, what's Easter about? Well, my brother-in-law, which is Sophie's brother, and he's this tall. Sophie's this tall, and he's this tall. Half-brother. And he didn't want to hear about it. He represents the rest of the French, you know. So he goes around the corner. We're all sitting at the table eating, and she asks this question, and he didn't like that. So he went into the kitchen, and bang, bang, he's hitting pots and pans the whole time that we're talking about what Easter is, because he doesn't want to hear. Well, that's, you know, what are the French people like? You know, well, on the one side, they don't know anything about what it's about, and on the other side, they don't want to know. Okay, that's generally speaking what it's like in France. Okay? But coming back to the text, Jesus' mission was to save. There's another incident just a couple of chapters later where Jesus is going to tell a guy, oh, your sins are forgiven. And then everybody's going to get upset. Well, how can you say that? Nobody can forgive sins except for God. And so Jesus is going to say, okay, I'll heal your body. And he heals the body. He says, well, which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven, or to heal a guy that, you know, can't walk? You know, and you say, well, let's see here. To say, he says, to say. Well, it's a fact. What is, you know? Well, I mean, we're all going to see the doctor for our sicknesses. It's not very easy to get well. You know? And Jesus says, you're healed, and he's healed. So he can do that, he can forgive sin. That's his point, okay? That's what Jesus' mission is all about. His mission, which he's transmitted to us, is the forgiveness of sin. Saving people. And in the book of Acts, it says Jesus went about doing good and healing those who were oppressed by the devil. Okay? So he not only did he die on the cross for our sins and raise again, but he also did a lot of good things for other people, like healing them or helping them and so on. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We preach the gospel, and we love other folks by doing what we can on their behalf. But really, the message comes back down to that question, you know, I say go, and he goes, okay? And how each of us responds, you know, because we don't have an audible voice from Jesus telling us, go. But we have the Word of God that tells us to go and tells all kinds of stuff. And what do we do about it? So when we would go out on evangelism, I had three other people that we made a team of four that we would go out evangelize. We called it to dare. Because it's never easy to go out and evangelize. I don't know, maybe some of these famous people, it's easy for them. It's not easy for me, you know. To go out, you know, and talk to people I don't know. Anybody here like to do that? Go talk to people you don't even know? It's kind of, you know, intimidating. But every time I do actually do it, then I'm always happy afterwards. I get to talk to lots of people, and some of the people listen to me, and it's kind of exciting. So I'm happy afterwards, but I always struggle to get out there. So we called it to dare. Dare to go. Okay? And that's what I'm encouraging you to dare. You know, to go, to get out there, and to interact with people that you don't know. There are probably lots of people that don't know that you meet here on Sunday. That next Sunday is Easter. And that there's going to be donuts. I heard that. I like donuts. I have to wait to get back to America to have a donut. You can invite someone to come for next Sunday. And all those chairs would be filled next Sunday for the donuts. But hopefully for the message, right? Right? The donuts just for the fun. Okay, so we know that the Lord has need of servants now. People that are living a life to please God, to put into practice, and to be a servant. We don't know how God wants each of us to serve, but I can tell you that God wants every one of you to serve Him in one way or another. But God does need servants behind the pulpit, and He needs missionaries on the mission field. And maybe that's what God would have you to do. I don't know, because I'm not God. But God knows for each of us what He wants us to do. And we can either put our talents to work to serve the Lord in whatever way that He has brought us up to be. Or we can not do it. We can hide it and put it in the mud or under the sand and not do it. And that would be unfortunate. Okay? So I just want to motivate, to encourage everybody to take that little word, four letters, D-A-R-E, dare, okay? Dare to serve the Lord in whatever way that's supposed to be in your case. Shall I pray, or would you like to come up?
I'll come up.
I always think of, what is our sphere of influence? Huh? We've talked about this in the recent months. What is our sphere? Your sphere is different than my sphere. Right?
Yep.
You don't all come with me every day outside my family. You're not with me. My sphere of influence is a lot, looks different. The opportunities look different for me than they do for you. But we're all here today, which means we're all afforded opportunities every week in that sphere, in that place, in that locale. My locale, you know, obviously church, but is an opportunity not just to tell people I'm a pastor, but photography, weather, that's opened up the doors. In my sphere, you don't have that. I have that. So what is the opportunity for this week? Who might come into my office looking for a picture to buy? You know, that's what I think. There's the gospel opportunity. For you, it could be. I know some are not. Some are quiet, reserved, just like me. I love to talk to strangers. I love doing that. It's just something that. But most of you don't. But you know, the world's actually given us a lot of opportunities. You know that. It goes darker, it actually gives us the opportunities. It's a lot harder when everybody thinks they're a Christian. It really is. And actually in this town, that's probably made roadblocks for advance of the gospel, because, hey, we go to church. Not anymore, though. Lots of people not going to church in Linden anymore. So, we're given the responsibility. We're the soldiers. It's not just me. It's not just my parents. It's not just the leadership. It's not just the ones who've been here forever. But it's our opportunities. What do we need to do? Well, first pray. You're not going to win any battles or go any forward without prayer. Prayer is, dare I say, the most important key to this whole thing is prayer. And I'm telling you, they're not praying out there. And the Christians who are not doing anything aren't praying. So the power is in prayer. Second, the Holy Spirit. The forgotten person of the Trinity, to be honest, is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who we need to believe and to trust and then to be filled by, right? To be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Every day. Should be prayer and the Holy Spirit. And then you say, well, I can do those things. Well, are you? Are we? Am I? And then you got to go. You got to do something. And I know some of you have a harder time getting out. But I got that. It's gotten harder. But those of us who can get out, we got to open our mouths. And we got to do it wisely, right? We have to be wise. We have to be... smart. Compassion. Love. Definitely has to be a part of this. You're not going to force your way in. At least most of the time. Maybe that'll work once and out of whatever. And maybe that's a setup. But listen, take advantage of the opportunities. We don't know how much time we have, anybody here. Take advantage of the opportunities. And pray. And you. I believe God will use us. Those who are usable, God will use. Right? We've got a core group. Let's continue. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you for the messages today. We're always challenged when a missionary comes through. But you know, we should be, and we'll forget this next Sunday, right? We'll forget Billy hardly. We'll hardly remember they were here. Of all the Sundays a missionary could come, it'd be the Sunday before Easter. You know that? Because next Sunday we're going to talk about the resurrection, and that's what gives us the impetus to go forward and to do these things. Hey, listen, I don't want to serve somebody dead, but I want to serve somebody who's alive. That gives me the impetus. I don't know how these other religions do it when their leaders are dead. I don't get it, but that's not for me to, my brain's only so big or small. I serve a risen Savior. Well, at least we sing. Next week we will sing that, right? Do you? Yeah. Well, I say we do. Well, how do we do that? By doing. By obeying. Yeah. And I don't know everything. I don't know everything. I don't understand all these things. But I can understand the simple gospel message and the command to go. Let's pray.